Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Is this right? Am I reading off the right sheet? Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. We're going to read from there. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised, with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. I can see why Ed wants to preach on this passage.
Yes, good morning everyone. I'm Etienne and I'll talk for the next half an hour or so. And I want to answer the question this morning, what is baptism? But I want to do it from the passage that Pete just read for us, because I think it speaks to us incredibly powerfully on this issue of baptism. Now, baptism, if you are new to church, just bring to mind, you may have seen this before, it's when water is involved in this sacrament, is what it's called, whether it's an adult who gets immersed in water and brought up out of it, or whether it's a child on whose head water is placed. That's what we're talking about, right? That's the thing that you need to have in your mind. And I'm going to suggest to you up front that here is my definition of what baptism is, and then I'm going to explain that definition from Colossians, the words that Pete read to us. Here's the short answer. What is baptism? Baptism is an outward physical sign of something that is true of you inwardly. Baptism is an outward sign of inwardly being washed clean of the guilt of your sin and wanting for the rest of your life to walk in the ways of Jesus. Right? Inside, spiritually washed, cleaned. And inside, spiritually saying, the rest of my life is a desire to want to think, live, speak, act more and more and more exactly in the way that Jesus would have lived my life if he was me. Surrendering my life, as Bianca spoke about, to living my life as if he is the one living my life. Washed and walking in his ways. Now you might think this morning that when we talk about baptism, we're talking to people who are not baptized, and that's why we want to explain what baptism is. Because, and I will do that today at some point, invite you to consider being baptized and entering into this kind of life. But I also very particularly want to speak this morning to perhaps the rest of us, if you are a Christian. I want us to be reminded and to remember what our baptism was about, particularly with regards to walking in the ways of Jesus. That my life's purpose is to serve the will and ways of God. That's what my life's about. It's what your life should be about if you have been baptized. And if you're like me, you probably are involved in this struggle and a tension that is forever waging itself out in you, where you're saying, well, I don't actually know if I really want to walk all the way in the ways of Jesus, because the world or myself or so many other sources are trying to pull me in a different direction, saying, yeah, my life is about Christ and living out and walking in his ways. But man, I struggle because there's also a bunch of other things that I really, really want, if I'm honest with myself. And those things aren't what he wants for me. And at times that battle gets so severe, so intense, that I really wonder whether it's worth walking in his ways. Or at least, is it worth committing so seriously and so thoroughly to walking in his ways, particularly when the cost gets high? It's painful. It involves affliction, struggle, suffering. We get tempted to not walk in his ways. And I want to take you now to the verses that we read in Colossians, because there's a Christian leader, his name's Paul. He writes to a group of Christians like us who are facing exactly this conundrum, who are saying to themselves, we're not sure if we want to walk in the ways of Jesus entirely, right? And just before the passage we read today, Paul says to them, see to it, you Colossians, that you don't get taken captive by hollow and empty philosophies. See to it that no one, and nothing in earth convinces you that your life should be about anything other than Christ. Having him, knowing him, living for him and in his ways. That is the best thing you can do with your life. Do not listen to anything else. It's empty and it's hollow. But I guess he anticipates their question, like my question and your question. Why? Well, what is it about Christ that is so wonderful that I would say, yes, 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 my life is really about this and this only. This is my highest pursuit, is to live my life as if Christ is living my life. My will surrendered to his. Sounds so stark, doesn't it? So unrewarding. Why would I do it? That's what these Colossians are struggling with. They're not sure. And so Paul says to them, lots of things, but we'll look at the things that come out in this little passage. And I'm just going to leave that passage up there. There's three things that he tells them why they should keep going. Number one, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity, that is God, dwells in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Okay? Follow the logic for me here. God, is embodied in fullness in Jesus Christ. And you, as a Christian, are in Christ, which means that God, in his fullness, is in you. I have here, let me try and illustrate this, a jar this morning. This jar is filled with water from the ocean, from the Bass Strait, right? I could say to you this morning that this jar is full of the ocean. It is not the ocean. The ocean is much bigger than it. But it is full of the ocean. Right? It's full of the Bass Strait. Straight from there. It's connected to all the water that connects the 70% of the planet. It is full with the ocean. And in the same way, the Christian, you can say that you are full of God. Do you believe that? It's such a breathtaking truth of the Christian faith that when you become a Christian, not just your status, as in what you are, or who you are rather before God changes, you know, you're guilty and now you're innocent. I mean, that does change. But the very thing of what you are changes. Spiritually, you become a vessel that is a recipient of the very fullness of God himself. I mean, there's such rich biblical imagery that teaches us that. The church is the body of Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives in his body. He is in you. Paul, praying for a group of Christians, the Ephesians, he says, I pray that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's breathtaking. And we've got to go back to the question then, why would I want to walk in the ways of Jesus entirely and completely? Well, because I want to be full. I am full. How can I do anything other than that, right? Any other way of living? Empty, hollow. Christ fills to the measure of all the fullness of God. Right? Therefore, carry on. This is worth it. Commit to it entirely. Right? Because in him you are full. That's the first reason he gives the Colossians. Second reason. Verse 11, he says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Now stay with me. This is a lot of language, religious language perhaps to you. I'm going to try and clarify it because I think it's extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. What is circumcision? Well, in the lead up to Jesus' life, this is the Old Testament of the Bible. Jesus is really the pinnacle of the story of the Bible. Before him, there was a bunch of things that were in place for the people of God, and after him, there are new things in place. Before him, one of the things that are in place is the sign of circumcision. God says to a man named Abraham, if you believe in me, you will know me. You'll be washed spiritually, and the sign of your washing and cleansing will be circumcision. Circumcision involves the removal of a body part by human hands. So what this would have looked like in the Old Testament is male, if they were to become part of the people of God. And this is why this was not kind of one of the better signs, because it wasn't really all that friendly to females. Baptism is the one that replaces it. That's a better sign, right? Fuller sign. But males would, during some sort of ceremony, undergo the sacrament or the sign of circumcision, in which a human hand, the hand of a priest, would remove a part of the body, destroy a part of the body that is symbolically unclean. Right? Washing, cleansing, destruction by human hands of a part of the body. Now come with me to the rest of this verse in 11. And I please tune in here because it's very, very, very powerful. In Jesus, you Christians were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was cut off when you were circumcised by Christ. Get that? You know what happens when you come to Christ in the deepest part of your being? Jesus himself cuts off the part of you that will not walk in his ways. He cuts out the part of our hearts that says, I will not and I do not want to walk in the ways of Jesus. He circumcises our hearts, the scripture says. And I think we need to take a step back here and understand just exactly what the power and the size and the wonder of the work is that God wants to do in you if you are a Christian. Puts off, destroys, cuts off your old self that is ruled by the flesh. The part of you that does not want to live under the wonderful reign and rule of God, he cuts off. He destroys, right? And then Paul goes on. He goes to his third reason. Now he gets to baptism. He says, you were circumcised in Christ, but also, having been buried with Jesus in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When a person gets baptized, if it's by full immersion where you go under the water and you come back up, going under represents that sense of dying. Your old spiritual self that would not yield to God, that does not want God, is put to death. It's nailed to the cross. Up comes a new creation, a new will, a new wanting. I want to live a new life. I want to walk in the ways of Jesus. That is the person that comes up out of baptism. Now, don't get me wrong. Baptism in itself does not have the power. It's not that moment that is changing you. Baptism symbolizes that change that has occurred in you. Right? And so here we can wrap it up, our bit on the Colossians. I want to talk more practically for a moment, but I want to just wrap up Paul's thinking to the Colossians and to you and to me, if you're a Christian. Walk in the ways of Jesus. Why? Because the fullness of God lives in you. Because God himself, Christ himself, has cut out of you the part that will not want to walk in his ways. You have been baptized. What you are is not the same thing anymore. You're something and someone completely new, different, one whose life says, I want to walk in the ways of Jesus, right? Now, you may sit here and ask the question, okay, well, I'm not baptized. Let me turn to you, if that is you this morning. And you say, well, should I get baptized? Or shouldn't I? I think the answer to this can be often a bit tricky to give a very clear black and white answer. Because on the one hand, we don't want to say, set the bar too low, but also not too high. We don't want to say to people, and many Christians often do, it doesn't matter, don't think about it too much, just get baptized. Just do it anyway, because play it safe, effectively, you know? Just, what have you got to lose? Just do it. Don't really consider its meaning or what it is all about. On the other spectrum, we can set the bar too high by saying you kind of really need to be almost perfect and need to master the Christian life, if there is such a thing. You need to be able to give full and lengthy explanations of the Bible, of God, of the Trinity, basically have yourself entirely cleaned up, and only then should you consider getting baptized. I don't think that's right either. So what do we look for in ourselves or in others? When are we ready to make a commitment to baptism, or if you've been baptized as a child, I'll talk about that in a moment, to say, I want to profess that faith as my own? When am I ready? Well, I'll draw your attention to the word want. Wanting to walk in the ways of Jesus. You will never walk perfectly in the ways of Jesus, but the thing that Jesus changes is your desires. What do you want? I put it to you, I struggle with that question so often, even now as a disciple of Christ. How much do I want to walk in his ways? I need him to change my desires. I need him to change what I want out of life. And mercifully, that's what he loves doing. So back to the question, if you're not sure, can I ask you these questions? Do you want to make a start with Jesus? Even if you don't fully understand everything, do you want it? Do you want Jesus to wash you? You're okay, you get the grasp at least the fact that you are covered in sin. And to know God and walk with him, your sin needs to be washed, forgiven, clean. Do you want to begin to walk in him? Get to know this fullness. Start to get to know this power that is at work in those who call themselves Christian, that fills them, that changes them, that renews them. Do you want that? If you do, yes. Yes, you should get baptized. You should make a start, right? And I will invite the offer today to anyone here or anyone to do with Pathway. We've not, to the best of my knowledge, had a baptism service this year. But we preach about baptism at least annually because we want to have a clear understanding of what it is and to invite you or get you to invite someone else to consider being baptized, and then just talk to me, talk to Ryan. I'm not saying if you want to, yes, we'll do it. I'm saying, yes, we'd love to talk to you. Yes, we'd love to think with you whether this is something that you should do or consider to do. So the invitation is extended. Please, would love to hear from you. Okay, what will happen if you want to get baptized? Well, what does it look like? We can talk about details of that in private conversations, but just again for clarity, if you're new here, how do we do it here in Pathway? Depends. There's no right way to do baptism as far as whether you need to go fully under the water or out, or whether it's a bit of water placed on someone's head. It's called a mode of baptism. We'll baptize in either mode. No significance on either of those as far as we're concerned. Just talk to us. We have a little pool or a spa if you want to do full immersion, and we've done it in the hall back there. We've done it out here in the front, in the foyer. Usually, they're some of the most powerful church services that we've experienced, is the wonder of celebrating baptism. What if I'm not interested in baptism yet, but I'm very curious about Christianity? I'm reissuing Ryan's invitation to knowing God personally, please. Part of what we do is to help you think through whether you're ready to begin walking with Christ. Please take us up on that as well. November the 3rd and the 10th, 7:30 p.m. here at Pathway. Last question, and I really don't want to spend a great deal of time on it, but it is important to clarify for us. Why then do people at Pathway baptize children, even babies, which we do? Your question might be, surely babies themselves can't be washed and want to walk in the ways of Jesus. That's the criteria for baptism. Why do you baptize them? It's a great question. It's a good question. Right. Well, here's where the Bible throws an interesting one at us. We go back to circumcision. This Old Testament sign of cleansing that God gives to Abraham, he says to him, from now on in, you will place this sign on every male child 8 days old. The cleansing sign is put on the kids in the community, covenant community of God. And so we get to Jesus and the New Testament, and somewhat, I say this respectfully, annoyingly, he doesn't tell us what to do. He doesn't tell the church whether we should keep putting the cleansing sign on kids or not. The New Testament is quite silent, really. And so the early Christians are going, well, what do? We don't circumcise people anymore. We baptize them. That's the sign of cleansing. Our best guess is they kept putting that sign on the kids. They weren't forbidden to do otherwise. In fact, we believe the church has done that for the first 1,500 years of its life. Only 500 years ago did it question it. We do so not because we see that sign placed on the children as proof that they are saved and will walk with Jesus. Not at all. It's a promise that should they come to understand what God did for them in Jesus, should they believe it, they will be washed. They will be wanting to walk in the ways of Jesus. Until that time, we hold out the gospel to them. We tell them faithfully, actively. It's why kids is a big deal here on Pathway. It's a massive deal. Because our calling is to lead them to want to be washed and to walk in the way of Jesus. That's the promise we've extended to them when we place the sign on them, right? Colossians is the closest we get where we see the sign of circumcision and baptism sitting side by side. But again, it's no command that we must. Follow-up question is, well, what if I disagree? What if we don't think, and many Christians do and have done for the last 500 years, that we should not put the sign of cleansing on the kids? What does that mean for me if I want to be involved in Pathway? You're more than welcome here. You're more than welcome to be a member of this church, if that is your view on baptism. We will welcome you, your children, lead them, disciple them, hold out the gospel to them. And at the age when a baptized child will profess their own faith in Jesus, we will baptize your children. The reality is, as much as we view this as the best interpretation of Scripture, the main game is really not when we place the sign of baptism on a person. The main game is that we understand that we are filled with the measure of all the fullness of God through faith in Christ. That we are circumcised by Him. Our old selves cut off, with a new self remaining, wanting to walk in His ways. Really, as far as I'm concerned, you can be baptized wherever you like on that continuum. That's what matters. It's what we strive for, what we yearn for, and thus welcome whoever wants that into membership, into Pathway. Right, that is it for this morning. Baptism externally signifies, symbolizes something that has happened and is happening inside of you. Inside of you, you've been washed. There's been a change in you. You're a person who wants to walk in the wonderful ways of Jesus. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you that your desire and designs is to fill us. That you want to make us so full that we literally overflow and leak out the goodness of God. That's what you've come to offer. That's what you've come to make a reality, to give, to accomplish. And so I pray that prayer. I pray that prayer for every Christian in the room, that you will help us to grasp how wide and how and long and deep is the love of Christ. That you would fill each and every single one of us to the full measure of God Himself. Father, would you increase our capacity for that fullness? Enlarge us. Let us know you deeper, better, more fully, more joyfully, more peacefully, more purposefully. Let us know your presence. Let us encounter it daily, often, in worship, in prayer, in the word, in nature, in each other. Fill us, I pray. Fill us so deeply and so richly. Lead us away from the emptiness and the hollowness that we so often pursue. Help us to turn, to repent, but to go for the fullness of God in Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you that you've come to do such a deep work in us, literally cut off our old self. And in time, even our old bodies will be made new to join our spirits already renewed. Father, I pray for the friend here who's about to enter into life with you, Lord Jesus Christ. Would you lead her, him, with your own voice into being baptized into your name? If that is your will, may it come to pass. Father, I pray for our children, each and every single one of them. How we long for them to want to be washed and to walk in the ways of Jesus. I pray for our parents. Would you fill them immensely? I pray particularly for the ones who are doing it alone in single parenting. Father, would you fill them again, that they may live lives in the eyes of their children as people who are full of God. May our kids not just hear the gospel, but see it, catch it, know it, because we've modeled it. I pray for our church ministries that specializes in holding out the gospel to young ones. I pray for Pathway Youth and their leaders. I pray for Pathway Kids and their leaders. Finally, I pray for grandparents who yet play such a remarkable role in the lives of the grandkids. Fill them with faithfulness to pray for their kids and grandkids as they do. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.